It's a little time since the Olympics, but do you recall the Olympics? How many of you like watching the Olympics? Different scene and all of that. And one of many people's favorites is the celebration and the awards and the tributes and the victories, if you will, when they are awarded their pennants, their medals for their achievements. We will be seeing another Super Bowl coming and going soon. I don't know who will be in it. I don't have any dogs in this fight. All the teams that I had hopes on have stepped aside, let's say. But there will be an award there and a huge celebration as well. So all of these victory parties, and it makes me wonder, when someone passes, we don't really get as much of a chance to have that victory party. I've done a few funerals. I started as an associate pastor in Fort Morgan with Keith Merriman. Ken, you remember Keith? Didn't know Keith Merriman? Oh, that's all right. He was a quiet but a firm member of our conference for years. Ken Burby, by the way, I want to acknowledge, member of our conference gathered here celebrating on your vacation. Yes? Glad to have you, brother. But as an associate, the funeral director for the local funeral home was a member of the church, and he was a little guy. He was only about up to here on me, and I'm not that big, but it was a little guy, and he had a voice. It sounded like this all the time. And he'd call me on the phone. He'd say, Pete, you got time for another one. And he'd task me for funerals. It was kind of a hard thing, but it's a holy time as well. But I've done a lot of funerals, just an awful lot of them. And invariably, when you meet with the family, they say, well, whatever we do, we want it to be a happy time. We don't want a sad funeral. We want a celebration of life. And I understand that. We all want that. We want that celebration and not the grief. But you see, we can't do that completely because grief is a part of the process too. We are human. Some of us want to deny that. I won't go down that path too far. But as humans, we have that human inbuilt part that grieves. Jesus' human part wept when he learned of the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. And it's a message to us, a reminder to us. It's an acknowledgement of who we are and how we are. I was at a man and his wife sitting there in the afternoon, and all of a sudden, she died of a coronary right in front of him. Older couple, he was not even able to get up out of his chair, but somehow managed to call 911. And unfortunately, the paramedics came. He knew she was not well, and they both had do not resuscitate orders, but there is an emergency response when you get a 911 call, and as a chaplain, I responded as well. And I was sitting with him, and he was okay. He was acknowledging his life's partner for so many decades, but tears were streaming down one cheek, and his daughter came rushing in. She says, Daddy, don't you cry. Don't you cry even one drop. She says, she's with Jesus, and she's okay. Well, I realized I needed to step aside and let that family be a family. But she wanted to deny that grief. And Daddy took her in his arms, and I think he helped her face the fact that, yes, we can celebrate, that they're at peace, they're in heaven, they're at ease, but yes, we do grieve. Seminary, so many years ago, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was one of the required readings. I believe she was required. Ken, was she required when we were in seminary? It's been a few decades for me now. But Elizabeth Kubler-Ross worked in a facility for those who were dying, and she studied it and outlined the steps of grief. And there were five steps at that point. They were denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And it has since been revised. I didn't know that. There are now seven steps. She's rethought some of that. And so she's added shock and testing to the steps and the grief process. And I don't want to go in that too far because this becomes dissecting the butterfly. This is analytical for something that is a part of us. But what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross helped us do was understand that this is how we as human beings respond when we've lost something. And it was pointed out that we grieve even simple things. You lose your favorite pencil. It's my Eversharp that I've had all of 3 weeks, and I really like it. And so your first reaction is, no, I haven't lost it. It's here somewhere. That's the denial part. At some point, there's anger. I lost that. I should not have lost that. I should have kept a closer grip on that pencil and tied it to a string around my neck. We all know bargaining. Please, God, let me find that pencil. It's got to be here. Then depression comes. That pencil is gone. What am I going to do without that pencil? Now, I'm making light of a difficult part of how we are. But through grace, we eventually get to acceptance. It was a good pencil, but it's gone. And it's time to move on. And they don't come in order. Snow comes in order. That's ice and snow coming off the roof. God is cleaning it up outside for us. Nothing, no reason to be worried. I was blessed with my first pastorate. A woman came in, and she was at least in her 80s. And she introduced herself. I don't remember who it was. I wouldn't name her anyway, but she came in and was chit-chatting and welcoming me, and I said, and your husband? And she paused, and all of a sudden, she just teared up, and big tears just streamed down her cheek, just kerplunk, kerplop. And she says, oh my goodness, she says, he's been gone 20 years. She says, I haven't cried in 10. But that's how grief can happen sometimes. You'll be fine with it 1 minute, and the next you might pause and be a little bit maudlin. That's an interesting word for being touched and for grieving. Grief is a part of life, and without grief, think about how difficult it would be to understand joy. So in a way, they are part of everything that happens in life. They are part of that great sacred balance. Wonderful woman that I was gifted to serve in with, a member of my church in Fort Morgan, received the Bishop's Award, Mary Knutson. And she said, the veil between life and death is impenetrable. She says, it has to be, because if we saw what was on the other side, we couldn't survive here. We wouldn't be able to focus here knowing what's ahead. All we would do would be rushing toward that other side of the veil. She had lost a son in his 20s. And every year they paused and put flowers on the altar acknowledging his loss. That was a deep tragedy for them. But her faith was strong, and she understood that, no, we can't see beyond the veil. She is beyond the veil now, and she's on that other side. And through faith, I know that she is well, and she is reunited with her son, Dale. But for those of us left, we have to pause and acknowledge that they are gone from our human presence, our earthly connection. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. They rest from their labors. They are gone. They are in the Lord's arms, but we miss them. Think of those you've missed. What do you miss? Smell, or the sound of their voice, or a laughter that they would do, or a saying that they always said to you, or some other quirky habit that just leaps out that you just remember that of them. And it's bittersweet. May it become more sweet over time as it mellows with age. Because you see, that's one of God's greatest gifts, is time. A time to be able to heal and to draw in the sweet memories and the wonderful memories. In the book of Revelation, John's Revelation, he wrote, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who now, from now on, die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Christian funerals have changed some over time. It seems to be one to be a time of finding all the quirky, funny stories to tell about the person. A Christian funeral, defined in our book of worship, is to lift the Christian attributes and the ways that they have witnessed to Christ. And we can pause and do both. And both are celebrations, and all are okay. Because we grow to understand that in all things, we are in God's arms, and God never leaves us, and we are never alone. Today, I wanted to just pause and acknowledge those that we have lost, that the culmination of 290 years of faith of these three that we've named, awesome. And the lives they've touched, the lives that they've shared, the family that they've grown, the friendships that have been built, and the way they have witnessed their faith in Christ. Were it possible, we would pause and we would put them on a pedestal and hand them a medal and say, well done. Good and faithful servant, well done. Here is the award. You have won the race and you now rest from your labors. So for those that you're thinking of in your hearts, pause and acknowledge that and celebrate them and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen.